Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. You are listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center and have on the political left Shireen Gorbani with the Salt Lake County Council.
Thrilled to be here.
Nice to have you again, Shireen. And on the political right, Todd Weiler with the Utah State Senate.
Heyo, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, nice to have you. Lots of news going on. Let's just start with the latest on the impeachment inquiry. Where do you start with this? I guess you just say that the White House is saying no go.
I'm a little surprised about this because, you know, 2 weeks ago, we the opposite of Nixon, you saw him, hey, here's the transcript. Here's the whistleblower report. Here, we got nothing to hide. And now it's like, well, we're not going to cooperate. And so I'm a little bit surprised at that reaction. But on the other hand, we have, you know, hundreds of Democrats who declared months ago, some of them years ago, we want to impeach Trump. And so I think they're kind of saying, look at, you know, the gig, you know, the vote's already there.
Yeah.
Why should we help them? You know, so I can kind of see that, yeah. But I'd rather they take that.
Isn't it grounds for impeachment to just not?
To not cooperate. Yes, it is.
So, Shireen, you can kind of predict the future here.
Yeah.
We're going to get an impeached president.
That looks like what we are headed for.
Yeah.
And I think, too, it's an interesting question, right? So when you say, I think they set up this kind of strange expectation, we're going to give you all this information, there's nothing to hide here. Well, then this kind of about face suggests maybe it is as corrupt as we believe it to be.
Maybe. But also, I want to point out, you know, Nancy Pelosi has broken tradition by not taking a vote of the House to start an impeachment inquiry. So she didn't have the votes 3 weeks ago. She may have them now, but she's never done that. But number two, they're not actually sending subpoenas. They're sending letters requesting information. So this is important, Natalie, because if mm-hmm. you send a subpoena, then I can go to court and fight the subpoena. If you send a letter of inquiry, then I don't have any legal recourse. And then they can say, well, you're obstructing justice, which, again, this is a political theater. It's not a legal theater. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone to understand the House Democrats are not following the ordinary rules that have been set forth in prior impeachment inquiries.
Shireen, do you see that any differently?
No, and I would just suggest also that we have a president that's not following the ordinary rules of the presidency.
That's true, and that's why he was elected. But yeah, I agree with that too.
But you say that, Todd, and I think of draining the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worse swamp now than when he started.
Yeah, I think that argument could be made, but other people are saying because he's draining the swamp, you've got these deep state people coming out and trying to do him in.
Which is a really harmful conspiracy theory.
It is a harmful conspiracy theory, but there's enough there that people that want to believe it, and I'm not happening to be one of them, but there's enough there to cling to because we've never had a presidential campaign spied upon like this one was. I mean, if you have a tendency to believe in conspiracy theories, there's a little bit of meat on those bones.
So. What do you make of what Senator Romney's doing, Shireen? In other words, he's you know, our state senator, a U.S. senator, and one of very few that is criticizing the president right now.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a powerful moment in, I think, Utah's history and something that we should be proud of, that when there are concerning behaviors about the person occupying our top office in this country, that we seem to be the only ones who have sent someone to Congress or someone to our Senate that has the backbone to really stand up and say, I'm concerned about what's happening here. We should follow the facts. We should go through this process. And that it's good for our democracy to do so. I can't say that there are many days that I spend a lot of time being grateful that Mitt Romney is my senator, but these last few days I've had a lot of respect because I'm certain it's a lonely place to be.
Mm-hmm. So whenever a Republican comes out against Trump, they get a strange new respect from the liberal media and from Democrats. That's what you're seeing with Mitt Romney this week. And I say that, but I also happen to be in Mitt Romney's camp on this because I think these are serious allegations. I think they should be investigated. Should they be investigated under the umbrella of an impeachment? Well, that's yet to be seen, but they should be investigated. I think people should answer questions. And I'm still disappointed, Natalie, because every time something comes out, like Kurt Volker testified for like 8 or 10 hours last Friday, and then the House, Democrats released a portion of his text messages.
Selective.
Very selective. They mm-hmm. won't let it all out. But even that portion, you know, showed him saying, wait a second, Trump has been clear that there's no quid pro quo. Now, some people are spinning that saying, well, he only texted that because he knew that this might be produced. And that may be true. It may not be true. But if there's nothing to hide on either side, why can't we see Volker's testimony?
Go ahead, Shereen.
I just think we cannot lose sight of the very troubling piece that has started all of this recent conversation, which is our president,
Joe Biden and Hunter Biden,
is asking for a favor from a Ukrainian president. That should be deeply concerning to every American.
And I need to point out, everybody on the left seems to conflate the favor and the investigation of Biden. If you read the transcript, and I've read it, he asked for a favor to find out if Hillary Clinton's server was really there. There's this billionaire in Ukraine. That was the favor.
So
then he said,
asking for support from a foreign government.
Yes, kind of like Hillary Clinton did in her campaign and Joe. Anyway, then he said,
I just want to point out that, Todd, you're making progress.
Yeah.
Because last time you were on the show, you didn't even think favor was in the transcript.
That's because I went back and I Googled it.
So I'm just telling you.
So
he's making progress.
Yeah, good.
The favor was regarding, will you find out if this is true that they have Hillary Clinton's server? Because that's still bothering Trump. But then he said, I'm hearing reports of corruption. Will you look into that? Which I don't think in and of itself is inappropriate for president. It happens to be that it was Joe and Hunter Biden. But we can all agree that if there was someone doing corruption in Ukraine and they weren't running for president, that it wouldn't be inappropriate for the president to ask a government to look into that. Right. We can all agree on that. Right.
I just have a different reading of the transcripts than you do. So, I want to stay with Senator Romney for a minute.
Okay.
Because it gives me the chance to read a tweet from the president.
Okay.
That, like, we had to get permission from the station manager to read because
It
uses the ASS term. But
okay.
Let me just read it. This is a Trump tweet. Mitt Romney never knew how to win. He's a pompous ass who has been fighting me from the beginning, except when he begged me for my endorsement for his Senate run. Parentheses, I gave it to him. And when he begged me to be Secretary of State, parentheses, I didn't give it to him. And then he concludes by saying, he is so bad for ours, exclamation point.
Yeah,
I think this is just a continued. So one of the core problems that I've had with this president is that I do think it is an undermining, a devaluing of what this office should, how individuals in this office really should carry themselves. And I do think that if we're going to talk about things we can all agree on, I hope that that is a space where we can find common ground.
So just on that point, can you imagine President Obama saying this? Can you imagine George W. Bush saying this? Can you imagine, Jimmy Carter saying this, the other President Bush, I'm skipping one in there, Bill Clinton. Presidents don't speak like this.
No. And
in a public forum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. And I've been thinking a lot about what this does to the way that we have seen kind of the further divisions and sort of the further vitriol be in, really ramped up by this president. And I think it's a real problem that we should be asking ourselves at all levels of government how we're going to work to repair that breach.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump was elected president because he didn't fit the mold. And every day we see headlines, he doesn't fit the mold. And this is another example. But I just want to end with this. Brett Tolman, who's in Utah, a former U.S. attorney, he quote tweeted someone. Someone tweeted that said, people who have nothing to hide, you know, who aren't guilty don't do these things. And he quote tweeted that and said, I thought the same thing until I was a criminal defense attorney for 20 years. And now I say you don't give them anything. You don't give the government anything. So I think there are two sides to that coin on what Trump's doing.
Shereen, I just want to hear you comment, then we can let Senator Wyler talk about it. But Ben McAdams has entered the fray in the sense that he's supporting of this probe and thinks it's necessary to understand the facts. Took him a few days to get there, but you supportive of where he's landed? And how are Democrats viewing the congressman at this point?
Yeah, so I think many in the community are grateful to have somebody who is willing to say we should have the inquiry, we should go through this process, we should understand what's happening. I think many of us are grateful to have that voice, especially when we have really the exact opposite and quite far extreme with Representative Stewart suggesting that there's nothing there, that this is a witch hunt, kind of following the line of the president. It's amazing to see, I think, the deep divisions when we think about the fact that these two representatives both serve, a big chunk of Salt Lake County.
Yeah. How do you think this will play out?
Ben continues to be in a bad place. I agree
with this position, or just that he's in a difficult district.
Well, the liberals in his district, the far left, they want him to put Trump's head on a
pole. He's in the double bind,
but he has to appeal to the independents. But I agree with him. I think that these facts should be investigated.
I have to say, I have seen sort of in the background, but a lot of Republican leaders, I'm going to say business leaders who are Republican, expressing a lot of support for Congressman Ben McAdams.
Yeah, and I've been supporting. I think he's doing all the right things to get reelected. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's a smart and savvy guy.
Before we conclude this segment, let's talk about Trump's decision to withdraw troops from Syria. This is really interesting because it's caught the attention of bipartisan mm-hmm. opposition. And mm-hmm. it's been a long time since we've been using the word bipartisan on anything.
Yeah.
But is it Lindsey Graham is the one that I've been happy to see him actually being consistent with what his past has been to actually be saying this is wrong to abandon our Kurdish allies.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm a foreign policy expert.
You and me both.
But the thing that concerns me most is that it appears that Trump didn't talk to anyone, the Pentagon, even his friend Jeff Sessions. He just kind of announced this and caught everybody by surprise. And I don't think that's wise. And I do have concerns. Now, we're only talking about 1,000
troops. Didn't he say, Todd, only I can solve the problem?
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
We're only talking about 1,000 troops. So I think about 18 months ago, he said, we're going to pull all the troops out. And he got kind of a lot of pushback. So he pulled 1,000 out and left 1,000 there. So he kind of did telegraph this a year and a half ago that this is where he wanted to go. But again, I'd rather... He says he talked to everybody, but it looks like he didn't.
Yeah, Shireen, we'll let you close on this one.
So the decision here is a deeply troubling one, I think, for some of the reasons we've talked about. It doesn't seem like there's been good coordination or communication around this. And people's lives are on the line. I mean, people will die because of this decision.
Right now.
Right now.
The missiles are flying.
It's happening now.
Yeah.
And I struggle with this so much because I understand the frustration that people experience when they look at these wars that we've been in, going on 20 years and feeling like they've been in these for individuals seeing the huge loss of life in the Middle East as well. But this decision is a terrible decision, and I am glad to see so many people across party lines speaking out against it.
Yeah, maybe some hope here for some bipartisan
work.
I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm with Todd Weiler and Shireen Gorbani. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more episodes of all our in-house podcasts, click on the Local Programs tab at kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider donating to KCPW to support public radio in your community.
Todd Weiler on the right.
Shireen Gorbani on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the political center. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. We're covering the issues from the left and the right and the voice of the middle. Speaking of the middle, we have two mayoral candidates for the Salt Lake City, our capital city's mayor's race. Two women. Amazingly experienced, very intelligent women, and they're very civil with each other. I attended a debate this week sponsored by the Downtown Alliance. You have Lou Zescamilla and Aaron Mendenhall doing their thing. And Lou starts to get a little cough. I think she'd been a little under the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron reaches down and grabs a water bottle and says, here, would you like some water? And I tried to imitate that. Here, would you like some water? But it was almost like it was two young gals on the playground and one needed some water and the little gal took in her lunch pail and gave her some water. I mean, it was that tender to me to watch. And I just thought it was remarkable.
Yeah,
because you just don't see that.
Almost like George W. Bush and Ellen DeGeneres
tell
at
the
a
story.
Football game.
Oh, okay, yeah. Tell our listeners. I mean, I saw the coverage of that.
The thing was is they both happened to be invited to the same suite by the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and so they sat by each other and were photographed laughing and having a good time. The sad thing is Ellen DeGeneres had to come out and defend herself because so many of her liberal supporters were attacking her for daring to sit next to George W. Bush. And I have to agree with everything she says. She said, we don't agree on everything politically, but we don't have to. I have friends of all different kinds of persuasions. And when did we become the society where you have to agree on everything before you can even sit next to each other? And so I applaud her. in everything she said in her defense. And I think it's a sad commentary that she'd have to defend herself.
Yeah. Shireen, so, do you want to say anything on that or not? I'll have a question for you.
Well, I would on the
two mayors getting along so
yeah.
well.
So I think it's something that is, you know, much needed in the current environment. I think when we see just the kind of tweeting that we talked about earlier mm-hmm. in the previous segment, or just the way that people take cheap shots at each other all day long on that platform. It's so nice to see a really substantive debate, mm-hmm. a really kind debate, and to really say, look, there are different choices. And you know, I think we all have preferences in particular races, but it's really nice to be able to go out and be able to say, whatever choice you make, you will be making a good choice for the future of the city.
And I love the relationship that George W. Bush also has with Michelle Obama. I think, you know, the people caught him passing her like stuff at a funeral, like little mints to suck on and things like mm-hmm. that. And
that's,
you know,
that is George W. Bush.
Yeah.
That's Bush 43.
Yeah.
That's what he's
yeah.
like. Hey, yeah. Back on the Luz Escamilla and Aaron Mendenhall relationship. I don't know if this is the case, but I think that it's clear to me that there are places where they could go after each other.
Oh, sure.
And they're choosing not to.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the debate, I'm listening, and I'm thinking, this is what this person should say now.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And I'm thinking, oh, the campaign people must be dying because they don't do a lot of differentiation. They stay positive and speak, you know, their platform, but they don't go after the other person.
I think this is a model for every race in the future.
It's so unlike when you have two men up there, Todd, which is where I was going to go with Shireen, because I think women are known for civility and stewardship and collaboration, cooperation, and for some reason, these two, in my judgment, are valuing their friendship as much as their ambition.
So I only have, one personal experience with this when I debated Congressman Stewart, and I remember—
And you did an amazing job.
Well,
I'll just remind our listeners that. Todd, you remember this.
You
really caught people's eyes.
Thanks. Yeah. So I will say it was interesting because it was the first time I'd met him before that, and I, you know, walked on stage, introduced myself, and he said, you know, I think we'll, you know, agree to disagree. And I just said, you know, I'm not so interested in that. I'd rather, let's agree to agree. Let's find those things that we agree about. I will say after that, it felt like he agreed with me a little bit too much. But I think that there's a real question there. Like when we can find common ground, we can show those things that we fundamentally agree on, though we may approach them in very different ways. That gives people, I think, something that they can hook onto, something that's substantive, that resonates with them and how they think about the world. That's so much more valuable in the current, you know, kind of just cheap discourse that we see played out by our president or in some cases by local leaders that really undermines, I think, the responsibility and real honor that it is to go out and try to represent people mm-hmm. and then kind of reflect back what this community is about. And for me, walking all over the state, I feel like Utahns are just fundamentally decent, mm-hmm. and we want to see that decency reflected in those that we elect.
Well, I praise to the rooftops these two women.
I think
they're doing
both sides have a tendency to vilify each other, and I know Chris Stewart has drawn the ire of liberals in our state, and for good reason, because he's been one of Trump's top defenders. But I'll tell you, I knew Chris and his wife Evie before he was in Congress. Sweetest, most sincere people you'd ever meet. And I don't agree with every position he's taken, but I am happy that he's my congressman. And that's not a diss to you, Shireen. I mean, I'm obviously Republican.
I mean, I'm not your congressperson
but,
either, so it's okay.
Yeah, congressperson. But in any event, I do think we have a tendency to vilify each other. And then when people get out of office, like John McCain was, I mean, when he was running for president, he was kind of a bad guy. And then after he lost, he's a good guy again. Same with George W. Bush. But I wish we could all be more like Luz and Aaron. And I'm not going to say it's just because they're women. I just think they're nice, quality people. Mm-hmm. And they realize the voters are going to make a decision and they're going to move on with their lives either way.
I agree with you on that point. Okay. I want to talk about former Governor John Huntsman. I don't know how
you're running.
Yeah, I don't know how your email, phones, texts are, but I'm starting to get a lot of traffic about
this. There's surveys out right now about him, and I don't know if it's from his campaign or his opponents. I tend to think it's about his campaign, but I was at the Allies dinner for the Equality of Utah, uh-huh. one of the few Republicans there. And you know they showed the spotlight on John and Mary Kay, and the crowd erupted. And it's interesting, he may be probably got a better response there than he would have if he was at a Republican convention. But
well, that's
but he's
the interesting
very popular.
Part. Well, and what I was was going to mention is I'm starting to see the calendar fill up. So mm-hmm. I know he's having a reunion with his former staff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. That's a calendar night. Got an invitation from Scott Anderson for a reception for the ambassador's return.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you all are seeing, but you think he's in.
I still think he's in, yeah.
Yeah. Shireen, anything you're hearing in the political tea leaves on this?
I think he's in.
Okay. I continue to believe he won't do it, and I'm going to be proven wrong.
But here's the thing.
Everybody says he's in, and he's showing all the indications of being in, but why would he do this?
He told a reporter yesterday that he's seriously considering it. So if he's not in, then he could say, no, I'm not running for governor. So
Todd, people love to be mentioned in the paper, and it's a great way to get other things that you want.
Yeah. No, no, let's be clear. If he was offered Secretary of State tomorrow, he'd be gone. That. Yeah.
Or a year after he's elected.
And I think
let's be honest.
I think the biggest liability that he has is when he came back from China and then ran for president and lost, he did not come back to Utah. And I think a lot of people feel like at that point he kind of turned his back on Utah. So he's going to – I don't think he has to explain leaving. I think he has to explain why he didn't come back last time.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a clear path to victory.
I know you don't.
So, all right, Todd. So I've got something for you. I want you to give me one word that describes the Utah governor's race.
On hold, waiting for Huntsman.
That's more than one word, but that's okay. Shireen, have you got a word that would summarize what you're seeing in the Utah governor's race?
I'm just going to go with hot. It's hot.
You're going to get a lot of candidates. And I'm going to go with two words, no guarantees. You enter this race without any assurity that you will win this race. Okay, let's also talk about, I'm sorry to go back to the mayor's race, but we got some endorsements in the past week. We had Jackie Biskupski, the current mayor, endorsing Luz Escamilla, and a very prominent business leader and former candidate, David Ibarra, endorsing Aaron Mendenhall.
And Jim DeBacchus staying out of it for now, and now he's in Mexico for a month.
He tweeted this morning he's made his decision.
Oh,
is he like doing it? He's like holding people.
Well, he
is
wanted.
He doing, I don't follow.
He wanted
Jim
them to
that
both
way.
Come on Facebook Live, and they both turned him down.
Well, what a smart move.
Yeah,
Jim. So Jim's acting like he's going to come out with an endorsement.
I think he's going to endorse Aaron. Is my guess.
I don't think that much about it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting question. I really struggle with the idea of endorsements. I don't know if you have these thoughts as well, but. You know, it's something where it's never changed my mind about a single vote I've ever cast. I really don't understand it. I understand when people, you know, I'm very proud to be a labor endorsed candidate when we're endorsed by institutions or groups that are working with similar values. That makes sense to me. But individual endorsements, I think, really are, they can be, I think if you're making your decision because somebody tells you to vote for that person, we're already on shaky ground. It's not a good place to be.
And I agree with you. I think it really helps if you're running for the first time and you're trying to show people that you're a legitimate candidate. That's fine, but that's not the case.
These
for
two have
Luz
been in
Aaron.
Elected office for
so
many
I don't
years.
Think these endorsements are going to help or hurt very much. So.
Yeah, interesting. Todd, did you come prepared with a gripe for us?
Yeah. What happened to fall? I mean, we went straight from summer. It's going to be like freezing tonight. I mean, what happened to fall? I want my fall, and I feel like
it's one of the best times of the year.
So,
okay,
yeah.
That's a good gripe. Shireen, how about for you?
Well, mine's really different, but I've been thinking a lot. There was an interesting piece in the New York Times talking about the wealth tax and how it's at the lowest rate that it has been in over 70 years. And so I've been thinking a lot about that when we're looking
you
at
said the wealth tax.
So the tax on the wealthy
is
at the lowest rate that it has been in 70 years. And when I think about just some of the big challenges that we face around the just exploding costs of healthcare or the lack of investment in infrastructure in this country, I just look at that number and I get really frustrated.
Interesting. You know, we study this in economics, trying to understand because what you don't want to do is tax so much that you get in the way of innovation and
sure.
risk-taking. And it can be a real problem if you do. And so finding that magic mark.
You also
is a
have historically low unemployment rates, and there might be a correlation there. So
yeah,
okay. As we watch our bridges
crumble, my gripe
crumble.
Deals with healthcare, and you all are welcome to comment on this. But I got a hospital bill the other day. I read it to my husband. I just said, "Can you believe this?" I mean, it was like from services that were provided 18 months ago, and finally something came. Even though it had all been paid, it was to communicate me that there was zero due. I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't get the administrative
mystery billing.
Yeah, and it and in the what you're kind of going, when did the insurance come in? You know, when did my payment come in? Yeah. Why am I getting this now? Am I supposed to do something?
Yeah.
Well, and that's right, because we know in the background, probably for the last 18 months or whatever it was, there was an administrative back and forth happening.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
We get to continue to pay those bills.
Meanwhile, we have the major hospital chain in the state that continues to advertise on I-15 about wait times in emergency rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle, joined by Todd Weiler, Utah State Senate, and the Salt Lake County Council member, Shireen Gorbani. I'm Natalie Gochner. The program is produced by Anthony Scoma. Thank you for listening.